Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Het is eigenlijk een beetje een Hollywood aflevering vandaag, maar toch wel met een heel andere inslag. Devon Franklin werkt bij Universal Studios en gaat spreken in de Crystal Cathedral over het script van je leven. En Jean-Luc en Yves, beide mensen die in Hollywood een topbaan hebben, zingen een geweldige bijdrage. En dan een jonge pianist die verbluffend goed kan spelen. En bij Hour of Power Nederland een bijzondere gast. Het is Willy Brodt-Frequin. Wie kent hem niet? De verslaggever die misdaden aan de kaak stelde, die met alle grootheden van de wereld is opgetrokken, programma's heeft gemaakt. Ik kwam hem tegen, ergens onderweg in de vliegtuig. En toen hebben we gepraat over, als God nou liefde is, waarom is het dan zo'n ellende in deze wereld? Nou, Willy Brodt, daar hoop ik met je over te praten. Hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power.
Join us today for the best hour on television, the Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Well, to get away from the tensions of life, different spirit here. Feel it? Spirit of hope. You're beginning to remember that God wants to give you bigger and better and more beautiful blessings than you've ever had. That's why he brought you here. What dreams would you have if you knew you could not fail? Wow. Shake hands with somebody close to you. Give them the blessing. God loves you and so do I. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Lord, it's getting kind of easy to be glad here in this place which has such a different fragrance, a different flavor from the places where some of these good people have to work. Or some of the residences where they have to share quarters with others. A special place, God, you made it, you put it together, and now you put us here. You really love us, don't you? Amen. be seated. We are Christians, most of us, and we follow the tradition of great religions, Judaism, Catholicism, Protestantism. One day in seven in the Ten Commandments was set aside for you to come together in a place and thank God and lay your burdens behind when you walk out the door and to hear words from the Holy Bible written hundreds and thousands of years before we lived. This is the church. And now it's time to hear words written over 2,000 years ago in the Bible. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. He heals the brokenhearted. And He binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow in the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the power of human legs. The Lord delights in those who trust Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh.
Thank you, choir. My guests today are two French Canadian brothers, Juan Luc and Yves Lahoy. In 1988, they moved from Canada to Hollywood to make it big in the music business and find fortune and fame through a very challenging set of circumstances. They ultimately turned scars into stars. They began a successful Christian music group called The Cry. Welcome with me, Jean-Luc and Yves Lahoy. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good to see you.
A couple of Canadians, right?
That's right.
Yes.
French Canadians. Oh, a little different.
Subtle difference. From Quebec. Actually, a little suburb named Charlebourg. You guys would say Charlesburg, but we say Charlebourg.
Well, welcome to the Crystal Cathedral.
Thank you.
Have you been here before?
Yes, we've been here before.
On the way to Hollywood, didn't something happen?
Yes.
In Albuquerque?
Yes, we stopped.
Of all places.
Yeah. Of all places. We want to learn how to speak English, so we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh.
What happened? What happened?
Well, we were playing, you know, as we were in Canada, playing the clubs, the bar scenes, and all of that. And I heard a program on the radio, a Bible program on one of the morning, and it caught my attention. We were, you know, raised in the church, but I never really thought of God as being, you know, like my personal God and Savior. But this man on the radio, just what he was talking about, just pierced my heart. And I was like, I want to go to that church. Long story short, a girl that I had met there in one of the clubs said, I used to go to that church and I will take you there. I said, wonderful. Someone takes me there, free fuel and all of that. So went to that church a couple times. Second time, there's an invitation that's given and I know my heart is pounding very hard. And I went forward to the invitation, not really knowing what I was doing. But God called me by name and said, I want to save you today. I want to give you a new life. And that was it. That was it for me. The beginning of a real satisfying relationship with Jesus Christ, 1989.
Wow. Were the two of you together in that whole process?
Yeah, we were actually.
Yeah.
We had a band from Quebec, four French Canadians trying to make it to Hollywood. And after he became a Christian, actually, the band broke up and he started to feel convicted about changing the places we played and stuff. And I moved to Houston, Texas with a friend of mine just because I didn't know what to do.
You were trying to get away from me.
I was trying to get away from him because
he
had become a Christian and I thought he was a little weird. But I actually became a Christian watching Christian TV. So,
what kind of a Christian are you?
We are the kinds who just want to follow Jesus and read His Word and apply His Word. And I think that's, you would say just the pure, believing in Him with all of your heart, not making it a religion or, a set of things you do or don't do. It's just following Jesus. And when you do, Jesus said, when you love me, you will obey my commandments, and my commandments are not burdensome. So we just want to love Jesus.
Wow. My notes tell me that you once were called the town drunk.
Well, pretty much. I did have a problem with drinking for many years. And my poor brother had to pick me up a few times. And, that's where it's amazing, to see what God has done from just being drunk every night, playing the bars every night and being on drugs to just being delivered, from one day to the other, just being delivered by the power of the Lord. So it's pretty awesome.
Somebody's listening to me right now, somewhere in the world, among the millions. Probably a lot of people are right now looking into your face, listening to your words, and they are where you were. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Well, I would definitely say that, whatever we do or try to fill that void, a lot of people think it's partying or relationships, whatever it is, that we will never find true fulfillment because God has put a void in our hearts, I believe, that only He can fill, and we can spend a lifetime trying to fill it with anything. It could be success, money, relationships, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. you know, that satisfaction will never be found unless it is in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Tell us about the song you're singing today. And did you write it?
Yeah, I wrote this song in my parents' backyard in Charlesburg. And we were just hanging out in the summertime when we have a few rare, beautiful days. We can actually start the fireplace and just, you know, eat the marshmallows. And somehow my sister Isabel was sharing with me, you know, her struggle as a new believer. The Lord gave me the song, which is about faith. And the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yes. And I wanted to encourage her. And it encourages me every time as well when I play it, because the Bible says He's faithful even when we're faithless. Because He can't deny Himself. He's a faithful God. Regardless of what the world may do, He will be faithful to you and me. And that's the song in a nutshell.
Did you write it 10 years ago, did I hear?
That was about 12 years ago or so.
Still, the number one song that people ask you to sing, you're going to sing it.
Yeah, we're going to sing it today. Yeah.
God is blessing you.
God is good.
And God is going to bless all of us. We are being blessed listening to you. He lives in your personalities, through the eye, the tongue, the soul. I feel it. Takes one to see one. Sing for us.
Thank you. Amen.
When your dreams turn to dust, and you wonder as you cry, why it has to hurt so much. Well, give me all your sadness, oh, 'cause someday you will know the reason why. With a childlike heart, yeah, simply put your hope in me, yeah. Take my hand and walk where I lead. Keep your eyes on me alone. Don't you say why were the old days just because you're scared of the unknown. So take my hand and walk. Yeah. Think about the past. No, 'cause yesterday is gone. No. You're wishing memories were less. Oh, you're so afraid to carry on. You don't know what's coming. No, no. But you know the one who holds tomorrow. Yes, and I will be your guide. I'll take you through the night. Oh, if you keep your eyes on me, yeah. God says, take my hand and walk where I lead. Keep your eyes on me alone. Don't you say why were the old days better, just because you're scared. You will never be alone. gonna take my hand and walk you, walk with me now.
Oh. Amen.
Jean-Luc en Yves, beide bekende in Hollywood, zongen geloven is een zeker weten van de dingen die je niet ziet. En mijn gast vanmorgen is niemand minder dan Willy Brodt Frequin. En wie kent hem niet? De razende reporter die de hele wereld heeft rondgereisd, heel veel mensen heeft ontmoet, die zelfs op zondagmorgen uit zijn bed komt om naar Hour of Power te kijken, die zijn leven lang op zoek is naar God, nog niet gevonden heeft, maar dat wel wil, denk ik, Willy Brodt, of niet?
Ja, precies. Ja, ik had hem maar gevonden, want ik ben heel rooms opgevoed, heel vrolijk ook opgevoed. En maar ik doe mijn werk vooral bij Brandpunt, maar ook daarna bij de Week van Wederwoord. Daar heb ik zoveel verschrikkelijk veel ellende gezien. Mensen die sterven, kinderen die stierven in de derde wereld. Heel veel onrecht. Ja, ik heb wel eens in de woestijn, of wel eens regelmatig in de woestijn gestaan met Laios Kalanos. De cameraman, en ik keek naar boven en zei ik, God, waarom doe je dat niks aan? Waarom laat je dat toe? En dat kon ik dan niet begrijpen, omdat wij geleerd hebben, God is goed en almachtig. En als ik God zou zijn, dan zou ik zo'n kindje niet laten sterven. Dat is echt heel mensonterend. Want dan zag je die vliegjes hier in de neus en op de mondhoeken en in de ogen. Ja, dat heeft mij leven wel flink vergald. En ook de vraag op zich van God, ja, van waar ben je nou? Laat zien dat je er wel bent.
Ja, maar nou mijn situatie. Ik heb zoveel gedaan als jij. De hele wereld rondgereisd, rapportages gemaakt, in de Sahellanden gestaan, waar kinderen om me heen stierven, in Oeganda waar mensen werden doodgeschoten, in de problemen.
En jij vindt het dan normaal? Je denkt
nee,
van, God, dat heb je goed gedaan.
Nee, zeker niet.
Maar de vraag is of je God de schuld moet geven.
Nou ja, ik vind van wel.
Kijk, en weet je, nou, ik vind van niet.
Ik van wel.
Ja, maar dat
want,
mag.
Want hij is almachtig, ja. Hij kan doen en laten wat hij wil, niet. Nou, dan zeg ik, wat is dan de zin van die ellende? En dat houdt mij dag en nacht bezig, nou, nog steeds.
Mij ook. Wij kwamen elkaar tegen in de vliegtuig,
ja,
uit Thailand.
Heel leuk.
Hartstikke leuk. Ik kwam daar terug. Ik hou er niet van om dat zo nadrukkelijk te zeggen. Maar ik heb daar een project waar ik 250 meisjes mag opvangen die gedwongen in de kinderprostitutie zijn,
ja,
geweest. Dus ik denk, ik heb handen en voeten en ogen en oren en mogelijkheden van God gekregen. Dus in die ellende wil ik wat doen. Dus ik kan wel aan de kant gaan staan en zeggen van, God, hoe kunt u dit toelaten? Daar heb ik ook geen antwoord op. Maar
vind je het dan billig dat die meisjes in zo'n situatie terechtgekomen zijn?
Nee, dat vind ik vreselijk.
Vind je het dan billig dat zo'n kindje, wat je ook gezien hebt in zijn helft, gewoon ligt te sterven?
Zeker. Ik ben ook boos geworden op God. Als jonge journalist, hetzelfde als jij, de wereld rondgereisd. Ik was in de Sahel, ik kwam daaraan, ergens aan de grens van Tjaad en Soedan. Er lagen allemaal grijze dingen in het zand. Ik dacht dat het zakken waren. Het waren mensen. Er komt een vrouw naar me toe met een voddig pakje. En dat geeft ze aan. En ze geeft haar dode kindje. En ze kijkt me aan van, jij kan nog wat voor mijn dode kindje doen. Dus op dat moment dacht ik ook, als God liefde is, waar ik mee opgevoed ben, wat ik tot in mijn tenen geloof, dan heb ik het wel zo verdraaid misgehad. Dus ik heb ook een dag niet gefilmd, want ik had het ontzettend moeilijk. Maar ik heb God ook weer teruggevonden. Ik zei, God, laat dan zien dat u er bent. Die Bijbeltekst is voor mij waarheid geworden. Al zo lief heeft God de wereld dat hij zijn enige geboren zoon gegeven heeft. Dat een ieder die in hem gelooft niet verloren gaat, maar eeuwig leven hebben. Dus dit leven is eigenlijk maar heel tijdelijk. Maar er komt daarna iets veel mooiers en beters.
Nou, ik ben dus wel gelovig. Ja, ik ben dus wel gelovig, maar ik heb dan te weinig ratio om dat te kunnen begrijpen. Laten we het zo zeggen. Ik heb daar met Dries van Achter over gesproken. Toen die premier was op het Catshuis, zei: leg mij dat nou eens uit, Dries. Ik heb met moeder Therese erover gesproken. Ik ben bij haar ook geweest. En zie je mensen sterven. Ze zeggen, moeder, hoe kan dat nou? Zag ik naar God wijzen. Ja, die wisten het ook niet. Maar ik ben er wel in mijn hart, in mijn hele leven, wel heel droevig over. Daar moet je misstand hebben. Maar ik probeer wel vrolijk te zijn.
Ik vind je, en dat meen ik, een mooi mens. Gouden hart. Heel veel mensen hebben een beeld van je, van een reporter die alleen maar wil schofferen en dingen doen om. Maar dat ben jij niet.
Als ik jou dus zondagsmorgens op het scherm zie, waar ik vaak nog in bed lig, niet slapend, maar gewoon.
Ja, natuurlijk.
Ja. Dan denk ik van, dan zit ik zo te kijken naar, moet je hem zien, moet je hem zien, moet je hem zien. Deze vrolijkert, deze gezellige man. Is hij nou echt zo gelovig of is hij een soort presentator die...
Nee.
Maar je bent echt, wat je ook in het vliegtuig zei, echt super gelovig.
Ja, je hebt alles bereikt wat je kon bereiken. Ja. Maar waar droom je van?
Nou, waar ik van droom is gelukkig worden, ja.
Dat ben je nog steeds niet.
Nou, ik ben het wel. Van de ene, ik leid eigenlijk twee levens. Van de ene kant ben ik heel gelukkig. Hè, en mag ik me echt... ik heb geweldige kinderen. Ik heb een hele lieve vrouw gehad. En nu nog steeds. Gesina. Ik heb prachtige vrienden. Ik ben de hele wereld rond geweest. Ik heb echt een heel schitterend leven gehad. Hè. Dat heeft bijna niemand gehad. Ik ben met Prins Klaus, heb ik 5 wereldreizen gemaakt over ontwikkelingssamenwerking. En we waren heel close met elkaar. En nou, dat zijn hele unieke dingen. Ik heb met moordenaars gesproken in de gevangenissen. Ik heb echt prachtige dingen gedaan. Maar toch is wat ik je net uitgelegd heb, dat is een soort onvrede in me. Dat krijg ik dus niet uit me. En ik ben wel heel jaloers op jou.
Ja.
Want jij bent zo'n vrolijk, rustig type. Ja, zo'n blij type.
Ja.
Ik ben pas blij als ik eigenlijk een ijs koffie gedronken heb. Dan gaan mijn zenuwen gaan weg. Dat zit gewoon in me. Ja.
Een jaar geleden vond hier dat schietaccident plaats, hier vlakbij. Tristan schoot 6 mensen dood. Hanny Postma stond daar met 2 vrienden te praten. Een echtpaar, doodgeschoten. Hij schoot daar ook neer. Ze heeft het overleefd, dwarslesie, zit nu in een rolstoel. Gisteren met haar gepraten. Ik zag het tegenop. Ik denk, wat moet je nou zeggen? En ik kwam hartstikke bemoedigd terug. Stralende ogen. Zij is pastoraal werker. Ik zei ook, geef je God de schuld? Helemaal niet. Straalt vertrouwen, hoop uit. Ja, dan denk ik, als ik dan twijfel aan God, dan denk ik, ja, kijk even naar een ander. En dan ben ik weer helemaal terug.
Ja, maar goed, dat is weer zo'n voorbeeld waar ik dan... Ja, heel down van worden eerlijk gezegd. Maar ik zet me eroverheen hoor. En,
okay.
Ja, maar ik vind het dan...
Ben je ook echt op zoek naar God? Dat je elke dag zegt van...
Nou, ik vind hem wel een geweldige kameraad. Ja, ik wil graag met hem aan de bar zitten. Zo zijn we dan als katholieken. En dan gewoon met hem erover discussiëren. Dat is met jou. Jij bent eigenlijk wel een beetje een soort God.
Je blijft op zoek. Ik heb een paar vrienden, dat zijn predikanten. En die zeiden, joh, Willibert Verkeun is bij mij in de gemeente geweest. Dat was bijvoorbeeld in een grote gemeente in Drachten.
Ja.
Bij Orlando Bottenblij, daar heb je nog lekker mee gegeten. Bij de doorbrekers in Barneveld wordt je gesignaleerd. Dus je gaat, waarom doe je dat?
Ja, ik voel me er ook heel erg mee verbonden. En ik ben ook een member of the club, zou ik maar zeggen.
Ja.
En dat voel ik me heel erg. En dan... En ik verafschuw eigenlijk de protestanten. Zo is dat ons aangeleerd. Ja. Over die saaie mensen, val je bij in slaap en zo.
Daar suikert.
Totdat ik bij in Drachten was. En ik keek, jongen. Ik denk, wat is dat geweldig hier. Ja. Die spontaniteit, die hartelijkheid. Ik was echt helemaal totaal flabbergasted. En daarna zijn we bij hem nog even gaan eten. Ik was echt, het was voor de eerste keer in mijn leven dat ik dacht van, ze hebben het beter, die protestanten, voor elkaar dan de katholieken. Wij zijn, als je dus bij ons naar de kerk gaat, is het zo'n saaie boel, verschrikkelijk, dan val je echt bij in slaap, weet je. En dan ben ik ook nog in Barneveld geweest. Nou, het is echt een feest. En die hartelijkheid van mensen, die vrolijkheid van die mensen, die warmte van die mensen.
Maar ervaar je dat als gemeente of als gemaakt?
Nee, dat is echt heel erg gemeen. Super gemeen. Dat zie je gewoon. En gewoon uit hun hart komt dat, weet je. En dan voel ik me dan zo thuis. En dan denk ik van, nou, moet je luisteren, wij als katholieken, ik blijf wel katholiek hoor, maar daar kunnen wij nog heel veel van leren. En hoe het beleefd wordt, winnen jullie van ons. En dat zit me trouwens ook dwars.
Nou, God heeft geen lieve beestjes. Voor hem zijn we allemaal hetzelfde. Nou, net zoveel van de katholieken, van de protestanten, van iemand die nergens aan doet of die boeddhist is, maakt niet uit. Hey Willibert, wij kunnen eindeloos doorpraten. Wat wil je, weet je, ik dacht, wat gaat dit voor een gesprek worden? Maar ik vond het ongelooflijk leuk en ik waardeer je openhartigheid. En ik heb niet alle antwoorden en ik kan ook heel vroom zeggen, die heeft God wel. Maar dat is voor mij wel zo. Ik hoop dat het voor jou ook een keer gaat gebeuren. Ik vind je wel een... blij mens, ik wil je hartelijk bedanken dat je was. Heb je nog iets waarvan je zegt, nou, dat wil ik nog kwijt. Als je over een minuut dood bent, wat zou je dan zeggen?
Nou, ik hoop dat alle mensen heel blij en heel gelukkig zullen zijn, ja. En ja. Dat de zieken niet meer ziek zullen worden en dat de mensen die de ellende aan anderen aanrichten, dat die van de aardbodem verdwijnen. Ja, dat zit heel erg gebakken, maar dat vind ik. Ja. Dan zou ik volmaakt gelukkig zijn. Ja. En als ik in de hemel kom, is ook het eerste wat ik doe, is God bij zijn vestje pakken en dat ik dat dan ga regelen. Ja. Een hele lieve, vredige wereld. Ja, geweldig.
Ik vind het mooi dat je zo transparant en dat dit ook echt is wat je bezighoudt. Ik heb de Bijbel heb je natuurlijk, maar ik heb een beetje een bijzondere Bijbel voor je. Vind je het erg?
Nee, geweldig.
Okay. Ik ga hem even eruit halen. Alles wat je had natuurlijk steeds over vrolijk en positief en opgewekt en blij enzovoort. Nou, alles wat positief is en blij en mooi, dan... kijk, nou, ik sla hem toevallig open. Luister goed, de mensen zullen blij zijn over enzovoort. En dus...
Hou die pagina even vast.
Oh, wacht even. Nou, hij is al weg. Ah. Maar ik geef een vraag aan je mee. Alles wat positief is, is oranje gekleurd.
Och, kijk eens aan.
Willibert, ik zal nooit dat gesprek vergeten op hoge hoogte, zweven tussen de hemel en de aarde. Ja. En mooi gesprek met jouw lieve vrouw Gesina. Wat een mooi mens, van binnen en van buiten. Ik heb haar een bos bloemen beloofd. Die heb ik hier klaar liggen. Dus ik hoop dat je die met mijn hartelijke groeten aan haar wil geven. Dat doe je toch wel, hè?
Ik zeg alleen niet dat ze van jou heb gekregen. Dus ik zeg, schat, ik hou zo bespreekt van je. Dit is van jou.
Ja, nou, dan...
zo ben ik ook alweer.
Doe dat.
Okay. Nee, hartstikke dank namens haar. Okay. Zal ze zeer waarderen.
Okay. Willibert, wie zoekt zal vinden.
Zo is dat.
Voor wie klopt zal worden opengedaan.
Heel veel succes met je programma.
Dankjewel. Ja.
Day in a place where I feel frightened, just like every other day. Maybe one day someone will keep me safe. Today there is no one to help look after my brother. Maybe one day there will be people to take care of him. Today we are hungry again. Imagine a warm meal every day. Perhaps someday. Today we don't know where to go. Maybe one day we will have somewhere to play. Today we don't know how to make it better. Maybe one day we can learn to do it ourselves. Today we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever. Thank you.
In Hollywood, which is where I work, that's my day job, this right here, what I hold in front of you, is a script. Every great movie that happens, and even sometimes the bad ones, and all the movies that you see, start with a script. But it is impossible for a movie to make it to the screen unless the script is rewritten. When I look at your life, and when God looks at your life, I want you to know it is impossible for you to get to the next level of your life unless you let God get behind the keyboard and start rewriting some scenes in your situation. I want to draw your attention to Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6, and I'll be reading from the Message Bible. It says this: God told Jeremiah, "Up, on your feet, go to the potter's house." Whenever the potter was working with the clay, and it turned out badly, as sometimes that happens when you work with clay, the potter would simply start over with the same clay to make another pot. Verse 5. Then God's message came to me, Jeremiah says. God says this: "Can't I do just as the potter does? People of Israel, watch the potter. In the same way that this potter works his clay, I work on you." Now, if this was a modern day parable and story, I believe God would have told Jeremiah, go to the house of a Hollywood screenwriter and see the way that he is working on that script. That's the way I am going to work on you. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes in my life, even recently, it feels like everything around me is changing. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of frustration. Things that I used to count on seem to no longer be a sure thing. Can anybody relate to that? Literally, it feels like the things that I used to know, now I begin to question. Those things that used to be secure now seem to be insecure. When I look for peace, there seems to be nothing but frustration, anxiety, and depression. And I ask myself, Lord, where are you? Why are things so difficult? I thought that being a Christian, I thought that going after your word was supposed to put me on easy street. But it literally seems like I'm living a nightmare on Elm Street. Can anybody relate to that? Where you're supposed to be walking on smooth water, but everything seems like it's out of whack. And I say, God, what are you doing? Why are things so difficult? And he draws my attention to Jeremiah, and he says, you are like clay. You are like this script. And in order for me to get you to your next level, there are some things that I have to rewrite. But I say, God, why do you have to rewrite my script? Isn't everything perfect already? I'm here to tell you that most movies that you see go through at least 10 to 15 different rewrites. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a lot of work. I want you to know that God is rewriting your script. Why? Because sin is powerful. And there is some sin that has gotten in our life that has corrupted what he originally made perfect. See, many of us have come through situations that have left us depressed. There are situations we're facing right now that we feel are going to destroy us. But God says, when you start writing your own script, you only see destruction. But if you would let me do the rewrite, the scene you think is going to kill you is the scene I'm going to use for your victory. Just let me start rewriting your scenes today. See, in our limited capacity, we, as the main character in our script, we can only see what is happening in the scene we're in. God has already written what he wants to have happen in our life. But it's very frustrating when I look at a script and I have to admit that there is still work to be done. I know that many of you, just like me, when you look in the mirror, you have to acknowledge there is still work yet to be done. And when we acknowledge that we're not all that we could be, we sometimes get frustrated with ourselves. Why do we keep tripping over the same sin over and over again? Why can't we just get it together? But what God is trying to write in your script is patience and love. Don't look at yourself and what you see in the mirror. I need you to see yourself the way that I see you. You are a hero. You are victorious. You are a champion. Don't let the devil use his keyboard to write into your script failure. No, 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 no. I made you perfect. Yes, I might have to do a rewrite. When you look at the clay, the potter did not throw out the clay. When something got corrupted, he used the same clay, he broke it down, and he built it back up again. There is nothing wrong with you. We all have to go through the purification process. We all have to be rewritten. So thank God that he thinks enough of you and me that he will spend the time and be patient with us until we can get it right. Don't be frustrated with yourself because you're not where you want to be. God has you right where he wants you. And if you would just submit to him, he will perfect the scene that he is doing in your life. Amen. One of the things that also happens is in our life, in our script, there are characters that populate our script, right? And because of sometimes who we are and what happens, we get invested in characters that don't belong in our scene. Come on, somebody. There are people that are occupying places in our scene that do not belong. So God has to do a rewrite to bring certain characters in and move certain characters out. You cannot be so caught up in your scene that you don't allow God to bring in the right people at the right time. There are some characters you're holding on to right now that you got to let go. You might have to cry over it. You might have to be depressed over it, but let them go. Because God has the right character at the right time that he's waiting to write into your scene. But because you are holding on to that less than character, God says, I have to wait. I have to wait until you let go and let me write the person that I need for you to be and need in your life to come in. Are you going to let God write the right characters in your life today? What I find very interesting is this, is that so many times when we look at this process of being rewritten, we don't want to submit. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to let God do his work. But I'm here to tell you that a script cannot move forward to production unless you submit to the process. No matter how much I want to get this movie made, if I do not address the notes, what are notes? We'll read a script and we'll identify the areas that don't work. And then we'll do a set of notes to diagnose the problem in the script. And then we'll give instruction on how to make the script better. God is giving you notes on your life. He's telling you things about your character, telling you things about your vision, telling you things about how you think, telling you things about your emotion. He's giving you notes, but you don't want to address them. And then you get mad at him and say, God, why am I not going to the next level? Why am I not being produced? Why am I not getting into production? And God says, I gave you the notes. Why won't you address them? If you want to go to the next level in life, you must submit to God's plan and address the notes that he has. It is a process. Don't get so frustrated and angry with yourself. It's okay. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So what does that mean? We're going to make some mistakes. But commit to God's process. And I promise you, you think the movies in Hollywood are big blockbuster successes? No, 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 no. God will write a hit out of your life if you let him. The world has not yet seen how big of a hit can be written through your life. Hollywood can't make hits the way Jesus makes hits, amen? But you must commit to the process, and you must do all that he's called you to do. I'll never forget, as a child growing up, God had to do a few rewrites in my life. Early on, I thought that I wanted to be a running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And my first scrimmage in high school, freshman year, I got hurt. I got knocked unconscious on my back. During the middle of the day, I was seeing stars. Amen. And what God was telling me was, no, son, I don't have football or the NFL in your script. I actually have Hollywood. And in going to Hollywood, my initial thought was, oh, well, I'm going to go to Hollywood and I'm going to make movies. I don't want to minister. I want to make movies, and that's what you're calling me to do, God. And I'll never forget, during a revival that was going on in my hometown, I went to go visit the revival just to support. I was not there to do anything or any sort of ministry. And as I was there and sitting and watching the young people leading out, and one of those young people was my younger brother, as they were leading out and preaching on fire for God, I sat there in the audience and watched, and God says, why aren't you using the gift that I gave you? See, so many times we get caught into one vision for our life that we don't even elect God's vision to get into what we're trying to do. I need you to know that God created us. He has a plan for us, and it is far bigger than anything we think. Don't just get so caught up in what you want to do with your life that you don't let God expand the vision for what He wants to do with your life. As I sat there in that moment, He asked me, why are you not using the gift I gave you? If I had denied the opportunity and the possibility for ministry to come into my script, I could not stand here today. But I am thankful that I don't have to worry about what it looks like. A lot of times people say, well, Devon, you work in Hollywood. Why are you so vocal about being a Christian? Aren't you afraid of losing your job? I said, a job is temporary. God can write a job in my scene and write a job out. But what I don't want to lose is my relationship with Him, because that is what I need to make it from scene to scene to scene. Amen. Amen. He might take away the industry you're in right now, but that doesn't make Him less God. He might take it away so that He can show you who He really is. Don't allow your script to be dependent and so dependent on where you work that if He decides He wants to do something differently with you, you lose hope because, wait a minute, God, in my script, I was supposed to be at this company till retirement. In my script, Lord, I didn't get laid off. In my script, I didn't lose my job. But God says, I made you. I have the manual on you. I'm trying to direct your life. I know the beginning from the end. I know how I'm going to use this company that you think is trying to take you out. I'm going to use this situation to get you where you've always dreamed. Will you trust me? Will you believe in me? Will you have faith in me to know better for you than you know for yourself? Let us not get so caught up in the scenes of our life that we don't let God, the master screenwriter, write a masterpiece out of our story. I'll never forget, so many times we think that God is slow in doing His work. Amen. We think, God, Lord, what are you doing? What, like on my timetable, I'm supposed to have been where I need to be by now. At the beginning of the year, there was a project that we were getting ready to go into production. And it was a remake of this old musical called Sparkle. And we had a ticking clock. We had to make a decision really soon, but we didn't have a script. And so we wrote a first draft of the script and we submitted it to the chairman of Sony. And the chairman of Sony said, not good enough. And here we are, we were frustrated. We were like, what are we going to do? Are we going to make the deadline? But the script wasn't good enough, so we had a choice. Do we do the work, or do we sit there and complain? The longer we complain, the longer it takes, because the work still needs to be done. I'm here to tell you that there's work that needs to be done in your life. You need to stop complaining. You need to stop being angry. You need to stop being bitter. Let God do His work. You will be surprised. You think it's taking a long time, but when you are actually obedient, God will move it quickly. We did the rewrite on the script. Within a month's time, we got the script greenlit. A few months ago, we finished the movie, and in a few weeks, we'll be seeing the movie. It is the fastest greenlight process I have ever seen. When you let God do the work in your life, the thing you think is taking a long time will go with God's speed if you would just trust Him. Why won't you trust Him more today? And I'll leave you with this. In Hollywood, before we produce any script, we sometimes will spend millions of dollars on the rewrite because we need the script to get right. I'm so thankful today that when God knew that we were going to need work in our life, He paid for every rewrite with the blood of His Son Jesus. It was an expensive price to pay, but He loved us so much. He didn't want us to see the Satan defeat us by sin. He didn't want to see the devil get the best of us every single day. So He allowed the blood of Jesus to pay for every rewrite that we would need. You may not see it now, And you may not believe it, but I'm here to tell you that the next script God writes in your life will be better than the last. Amen. And the next script that you let him perfect in your life will actually prepare you to go where he has called you to go, to be who he's called you to be. And don't think God is rewriting your script just so that you can say, oh, look what he did for me. No, he's rewriting your script because there are others' lives that will be touched by the script that he has perfected in you. Let him do the rewrite. Let him get you ready for production. Let him get you ready for your next level. I promise you that when you do, you will ask yourself, why did I let it take this long? In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace and courage and enthusiasm and wisdom until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning for you, only eternal life forevermore. Amen.
En tot zover deze bijzondere uitzending op Eerste Pinksterdag. Een vraag die alles met Pinkster ook te maken heeft. Van het script van je leven. Hou je daar krampachtig aan vast? Of durf je dat uit handen te geven aan de grote regisseur? Die grote regisseur is God. En die heeft ons zijn geest gegeven om te onderscheiden tussen goed en kwaad, om van hem te houden en van mensen te houden. En dat is de oproep van Hour of Power. Ik wens iedereen in die zin een hele fijne Pinksterdag toe. En ook morgen natuurlijk, als we Tweede Pinksterdag vieren en een vrije dag hebben. Geniet ervan. Hour of Power vindt het fijn dat we elke week kunnen uitzenden, dankzij al die mensen die ons steunen. Die doen we dan ook bijzonder de hartelijke groeten. En wij nemen afscheid. Volgende week hopen we weer te zijn. Dan met Arie Slob, de fractievoorzitter van de ChristenUnie, die de begrotingsbesprekingen uit het slop trok. Maar er zit nog veel meer achter en in zijn leven. Graag tot volgende week.
Just like every other day. Maybe one day someone will keep me safe. Today, we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.